QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information, go to www.bbarc.org. That's www.bbarc.org. For our website, for the club, a lot of good information there. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote, I'll get it out here, provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Alright, hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alright, anyway, a couple of announcements here. Actually, a post-announcement on the airfare. Went very well out there this last weekend. If you made it out there, I'm sure you enjoyed seeing all those vintage warbirds. Big Bear Amateur Radio Club had their booth out there with ECS. And pretty great day, great weather. Also, coming up this Saturday is the monthly meeting at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. Tech hour at 5:30, general meeting at 6:30. All right, before we get going here, though, we'll let you know what we're talking about, and this is suggested from Mike, WB6CLZ. Very cool article, basically about a ham who took his QRP rig out on an adventure in the Rocky Mountains up in Colorado. This is part one of Max McCoy, call sign KC0MAX. This is from the September issue of QST Magazine, page 68, if you want to join in with us here. All right, but let's get our brief but important roster here, starting with WB6CLZ Mike.
I'm glad you're back. WB6CLZ in Placentia.
Well, Mike, glad to have you out there in Placentia. And by the way, I was maliciously listening in last week. However, driving on the freeway was unable to really participate. So, really appreciate the work you did and Bob and everybody else who joined in. Sounded good. Sounded like you guys had a great time. How about WB6CIN Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
And good evening there, Cindy. Glad to have you out there and joining in. And appreciate you know, backing up Mike there. How about KA6CIA George?
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And good evening, George, from Lucerne Valley there. Thanks for being out there. Quick call to KE6RJ and KE6QI. Let's see if Harry and Nancy are listening in.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KE6RJ and KE6QI are here on the side listening.
Well, Harry and Nancy, glad to have you out there listening in. Appreciate that, and you have a good evening there. Next I have here on my list, let's try KJ6HCS Mike. Nothing heard there. How about WA6ITC Rod? Nothing heard from Rod. How about KJ6FIL Mike from Edwards?
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there. still looking for that rain. We had nothing up here today.
Wow.
This is weird, weird weather. All right, how about we'll give him a shout. Not sure if he's out there, but KJ6KDL Jim and or KJ6KDK Rosemary.
This is KJ6KDK.
And KDL here.
Well, Jim and Rosemary, glad to have you out there. Thanks for checking in. Let's see, moving on down here. Let's see, how about WB6PBZ? Let's see if he's listening. Nothing out there from Ray. And I'm not sure if Frank is here. I think he's gone back to Yucca Valley. How about KI6IQA Kelly? Nothing out there from Kelly. How about K9AOG, Stephen from Long Beach? I don't hear Steve out there. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Ed. This is Ron, K6GBL.
And good evening there, Ron. Just want to let you know I experienced firsthand that interference that you guys get all the time. First time I've been down there in Orange County in quite a while, and definitely very loud in the mornings, like the guy's right around the corner. All right, how about 86PL, Harold in Riverside? All right, not hearing Harold out there yet. This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can. How about KJ6PYV? Let's see if David's out there.
Good evening, Tom and Nick. KJ6PYV checking in from Sugarloaf.
And good evening there, David. Glad to hear you out there. How about, let's see if they're listening in. W6JLM Judith, W6KMM Ken.
Good evening, Tom and Nick. This is W6JLM. W6KMM is also here, and we will be listening tonight. Everyone have a great evening.
Judith, Ken, glad to have you out there listening in. You can take care and have a good evening. All right, moving on down the list here. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Glad to have you out there. Hopefully a cooling off. Hopefully not too wet. I know you guys are getting a lot of rain out there, but hang in there. Either that or get a boat. All right. How about Ron, WA6HF? Yeah, then there's Ron. How about KD6LAN Bill?
Yeah, KD6LAN. I have a boat and I'll sell tickets. KD6LAN, that's like...
Yeah, as much rain as I saw in the news, they were getting down there in the low desert. Boy, gotta tell you, looks like CULL came in. All right, let's see, moving on down here. Not sure if he's out there. Let's see if Shelly's out there from Apple Valley. KJ6QYN. All right, don't hear Shelly out there. Let's see if Rick from Cerritos is out there. NQ7RD. All right, don't hear Rick out there. And let's see here. Did I pass somebody up? I probably did. But anyway, I'll catch him on the flip side here. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. Victor, Antifa 6.
Well, Victor, sorry you couldn't make it up last weekend, but I know you said you had to work. That's okay. Work is good. Thanks for being out there. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
And good evening there, Rob. Thanks for being out there. Let's see. How about W6JET, Rob? All right. Probably warm out there at the airfare. All right. How about KJ6RAY? Was mobile a while back. Let's see if he's still out there.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6RAY Mobile.
And good evening there, Ray. Glad to have you out there. And that's the majority of the list. Oh, wait. WA6MQF. Bob, I know he's out there. Bob.
WA6MQF in Downey tonight. Good evening to everybody. Welcome back, Tom.
Oh, Bob, glad to have you out there. And, of course, really want your participation this evening as was planned. And appreciate what you did helping out last week. Alrighty, well, that is pretty much the list. Pretty much. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
WA6FIZ.
WA6ITC.
Alright, well, Mickey, glad to have you out there from Moonridge. And Ron, thanks for checking in, appreciate that. Thanks for checking in, even if it was late, that's okay. Anybody else?
BOP, Ann in Pomona.
Got you in there, Ann. N6BOP from Pomona. Glad to have you with us. Anybody else? Well, that's all right. I know we have a lot of other listeners out there. Not a problem. So anyway, Mike, pretty cool here. I know Bob's got some good tales on this, and I have maybe one or two. But Adventure Portable, Rocky Mountain High. And Mike, this sounds like this gentleman, this ham, essentially on a trek from the headwaters of the Arkansas River. He's going to go down and actually try using his ham radio gear and just enjoying the mountains and everything as he goes. This is your specialty, though. He's running QRP. Pretty interesting. Mike, well, you want to go ahead and fill in what kind of gear he's got there and maybe a little information out there for those who do not know what QRP means.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, well, QRP is low power. That is running generally accepted terms less than 5 watts or less. A lot of guys run 4.8 watts, so they don't go over the 5-watt limit. Hi. Which is kind of interesting. And he is running normally CW or sideband. CW is the primary QRP, especially when you're portable. Most people run CW. And then most of the other people that don't run sideband. Well, this guy's running PSK31, which is a digital mode, and very interesting. He was running 5 watts into a dipole with an ICOM 703, which is an older QRP rig, but it has one of the things that I consider critical is an automatic antenna tuner, which in that era when that rig was being produced, that is probably one of the few rigs that have the antenna tuner, where you can put a random wire and actually tune it up without having it resonant. Gives you a little more freedom, a little more flexibility to run different bands without separate antennas. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, Mike, and you know what? I think the ASU has their 857, which is also an all-bander, and I think that's 5 watts, I believe. No, the 817, excuse me, wrong radio. The 817 also, and then I think the Elecraft, let me pronounce that right, Elecraft, KX3, which Mike, I think you have one of the fortunate people out there to get one of those. So we've got three very good QRP rigs there, and yeah, Mike, real quick, he doesn't talk about the KX3 because he does not have one. And real briefly, Mike, about your KX3, how do you sum that up other than just ultimately fantastic? Go ahead, Mike.
You said it. That's the radio I've been waiting 50 years for. It was in my head about 30 years ago. But, yeah, and that is the thing. It is the 817. I also have a little 817, and it does not have an automatic antenna tuner. Now, I realize that that does not make the antenna resonant, if you've been listening to Tech Tuesday for a while, but it does make the antenna more acceptable, so you can it won't fold back, which means reduce power because you don't have a resonant antenna. But yeah, KX3 is a very nice little radio. You guys need to look at or Google it. And the amplifier should be here. They're making a companion 100 watt amplifier for that rig. Should be out in less than a month. So I'm on the list for that, and that'll make me have a little tiny radio with 100 watts that is just fantastic. That's about all I can say. Back to you, Tom.
86, Neil.
Hey, there's Errol. Go ahead.
Phone away, check-in. 86, Neil.
Ah, got you checked in here, Errol. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. Well, Mike, real brief, the only experience I've had with QRP and being out in the wild, it was not my rig, and actually I was simply a spectator, Brad, W6BO, and some hiked up from Moon Ridge to the hill that goes way above Sugarloaf up here. I think that hill above Sugarloaf actually tops out somewhere, I'm going to say about 8,500. Maybe 80, now let's see, about 8,500, 8,000 something, maybe about 8,400, something like that. But anyway, I hiked up from here, they hiked up from across the way, and basically that's what he had, 817 and a little something new called a lithium ion battery, extremely light. I could not believe how light it was, first time I ever saw one. Typically the size of one of your old 6 or 7 amp hour lead acid seals, but this thing probably weighed like a feather. And did some great contacts with a little wire in the air running the sideband. Pretty great experience. So anyway, but we got Bob out there. Bob, I heard you earlier out there, and I think you had some experience in running out in the wilds with some gear. Bob, I'm going to hand it over to you for a second. WA6MQF from KF6Q, check Tuesday, and the group.
Okay, KF6Q, WA6MQF. A number of years ago, I had a Class C camper and lived in Nevada City, and I used to go up on weekends up to Domino's Summit, and there are some day campgrounds up there, and I used to take my K2 up there and operate off battery. Let me take a break here. There was some interference, I think, from Spanish Station. Tom, would you comment if I'm making the repeater readable? Over.
Yeah, Bob, you're solid in there. We can hear nobody in there but you.
Okay, then that's only on the repeat in, the receive in. Anyway, and last summer I took my K2 up to Tuolumne Meadows up in Yosemite. I have on the top of my camper 8 amps of solar panels, and so I can recharge the batteries in the daytime, and I'd usually look at the local sites in the daytime and then operate 40 meter CW at night. The K2 did have 100 watt amp, and I would make lots of contacts. I'd string up a 40 meter dipole and just run dead loss off the amplifiers, and I could disable the amplifier, and the K2 would then run 5 watts, and the batteries would last most of the night. And I had quite a bit of enjoyment operating portable, and I didn't have a manual tuner or anything. I just set the 40 meter dipole, and my radio was happy with it. And I generally would probably work maybe a dozen states or three or four countries without trying, just up at, with the elevation of being up at 8,000 or 9,000 feet. WA6MQF.
Yeah, Bob, I can hear your timeout beacon going off there. Hi, hi. Well, anyway, pretty interesting. Of course, anybody who's, if you've been up here in Big Bear, there's tons of hiking trails and jeep trails out there. Pacific Crest Trail. Also, and Mike, I think you've been out there with your rig on that, you know, and actually, Mike, you wanted just to also add some in there. You actually even did field day, I think. I'm not sure if you did some of it this year, but the last year from the PCT. And you were using that KX3, I believe.
How did that work for you? Back to you, Mike, from KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
We've been both on the PCT, both with the H17 and the newer KX3. Naturally, I like the KX3 better. But we did use the H17, got quite a few contacts. Basically, we were on the PCT out by the dump, the one that goes to the west, kind of, the trail, part of the trail, and found a nice log, found a couple of trees, strung out a dipole, and just went to town. I'm kind of a 10-meter guy, and last year for field day, 10 meters just was not good. Wasn't that great this year. But we worked around with some other bands, 15. Let's see, I know we did some 20-meter and a little bit of 40-meter. Really only a couple of hours, and then we kind of went back and set up on the picnic table out in the yard there at Irwin Lake and used the full wave loop and did quite a bit better. But still, 10 meters wasn't that good last year. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, fantastic there, Mike. It's always a lot of fun to get out there and do that. Well, it seems like the author of the article here essentially pretty much had the good little group of equipment to take with him, since he was going to be actually way away from everybody. And being in that, of course, you got to think about what possibly could go wrong just with your radio gear, not counting your basic survival, food, water, and things like that. But with that said, extra batteries, soldering iron, wire strippers, all that good stuff like that. A lot of things you need to take with you, and it's always good to have them out there, because you just never know when something's going to need a little attention. But that's all good. And I guess what he had some pretty good experiences. One town here, I guess, which is what the highest incorporated city in the United States, and pretty awesome. Over 10,000 feet. Pointed out here somewhere in the article here. But he did have a little issue there of being surrounded, and I guess where he was at, a lot of the peaks around there are up in the 14,000 plus. So you can be at 10,000 feet and you think you're on the top of the world, but not if you're surrounded by peaks that are 4,000 feet higher. And I guess this was actually kind of looking like it was going to give him a little trouble there, but evidently it did not. Mike, let me reset here real quick. You know, and I have talked to a few people that have actually gone backpacking up through to Sanjee and operated from up there. Obviously, very high for the local area here. It just was, I believe it's 11,499 plus or minus, and definitely line of sight with just about everywhere. But anyway, Mike, anything there? This is the, I guess it's Leadville, 10,152 feet above sea level, and that's really high. But anyway, you want to give us a little information? It's a pretty neat little town, mining town in Colorado. How cool. Back to you, Mike. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Just a little earlier in the article, he had said that because of the peaks around there, he couldn't get his weather radio or VHF to work. So he was a little bit concerned, because his whole MO was that first day he wanted to make a contact. So as it turns out, in the end, we'll see that he did. But we were getting a little ahead of ourselves. But I guess that I had said that he was using a 40-meter dipole. He's also, when he's hiking, using Pacific Antenna Pac-12. I'm not really sure what that is. And he had coils for 20 and 40 meters. Maybe it's a little MP1 from what I understand, which is a little portable vertical antenna that breaks down into sections. And it says here that each section is about a foot long. So sounds kind of like an MP1, which is another little portable antenna that they have, a little vertical antenna. There's all kinds of them out there. I've got one that I use when I can't string up a dipole or anything else. It's a little vertical, and it's called a backpacker. And pretty cool little radio. It will work on all bands, including the WARC bands between 80 and 6 meters. Anyway, let's see. This town, Leadville, is a famous mining camp. Very mineral rich. Let me reset. But that's why it's called Leadville. There is lead in Leadville. But they've gone through lead, they've gone through gold, and they mine silver and molybdenum. I could say moly. How's that? I've never been able to pronounce that. Tom, I'm sure you can. But looks like gold was discovered in California Gulch, which is real nearby, just on the outside of Leadville. So back to you, Tom.
NW. Yeah, I think we got a comment there. Go ahead.
This is K6YNW here. Not the same thing exactly. I think it was about 4 years ago, a backpacker was in the Northern Cascades in Washington, and he slipped down a slope, and I think he broke his leg. He pulled out his QRP rig. I think it was 2 watts, and CW put out the emergency call. A station 2 states over picked him up, and they were in business. Apparently, the guy who fell was a very skilled operator, which was to his benefit. K6YNW.
Good point there, Chris. Yeah, always good to have something like that with you, because you never know what is going to happen, and stuff does happen. Yeah, Mike, molybdenum. There you go. That's pretty close. Molybdenum. No, wait a minute. That's not even close. Anyway, key ingredient to chromoly tubing if you ever do anything in the car racing stuff. Very strong, lightweight steel alloy. But so let's move on. Let's get away from that molybdenum, which was the last ore that they mined out of there, which actually was very, very productive. And let's go on to what he found out. Now, you know what? You get up to high altitudes, and he was up there pretty high. And I have experienced this being up above 9,000 feet. You get closer to 10. Things don't operate like your fingers and your legs and your arms and things. Lack of oxygen. And I guess this was hitting him up a little bit there too, Mike. You want to go ahead and take it from there?
The problems he was having. He was exhausted, but that wasn't the half of it. His joints ached, his fingers were clumsy, and he still had to work on his antennas. So I guess that the PSK frequency on 40 meters is about 7070, I believe, somewhere in that area, maybe 7072. So his antenna was the wrong length, and he had to tune it with his aching fingers. I don't know. I've been here in a nice warm house, so to me it's kind of funny. I'm sure if I was out there freezing my fingers and everything else off, that I would be laughing about it. But he got it, and then he put everything together and started calling CQ. And by golly, what happened after that, Tom?
Well, we'd like to think that he made a contact and all was well, but didn't work that way. He was calling CQ, and then he started looking at almost 14,000 foot peaks, and he wasn't getting anything back. However, here we go. Was it one of those little simple things? As the PSK31 is, of course, running through his laptop. I think we've all noticed the little mute box down there on our system. Well, it was checked, and evidently he wasn't modulating. So once he did that, real simple fix it, within less than a minute, he made his first contact over there to Craig, NV10, and that was about 700 miles away in Apache Junction, Arizona, and he's a pretty happy camper, so And anyway, all these different little things that can happen, of course. You got to be careful when you're out there in the wild blue, but a lot of fun. Of course, one thing we have here is he was all by himself, and I think it's always good if you go out with a group, you know, just in a general sense, but, you know, if you are going to be out there by yourself, you got to be very careful. And anyway, that's pretty much the majority of his article there, but Mike, anything to add?
No, other than that, it's really a ball going out and doing that, and it's really a rush when you are out in the wilderness with nothing else going on and have your radio and are working somebody on the other part of the other side of the world. I remember back at the last solar cycle, solar peak, not this one, but the last solar peak, I had a little radio, a little handheld 10-meter sideband radio, and walking on the PCT over on the dump site behind the dump, and worked Japan with 2 watts and a portable antenna pedestrian mobile. We had the antenna, basically a loaded whip, and we had about 20 feet of wire that we would drag behind us, and like I say, actually worked Japan with a pretty good signal report, as I recall, on the PCT with a handheld radio. That was some of the most exciting times I've had in ham radio, when that guy actually came back with me, back to me.
Oh, fantastic, Mike. Well, that's great. Well, we'll call out there if anybody has any questions or comments here from the group, and please come back now to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
86, Bill.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
Radio Shack has a little item I purchased several years ago, probably about 20 years ago now, and it's extremely handy, even just for anything you might need around your vehicle. It's a 35-watt soldering pan that plugs into the cigarette lighter. You have to have the motor running to get this thing to operate properly. And when I bought mine, it has a 12-foot cord on it. When I bought mine, I bought a 10-foot extension that plugs in a cigarette lighter, and then that plugs into it. And I have a trailer I pull behind my car, did. And as misfortune would have it, I had a wire that came apart and needed to be soldered on the back of the trailer, so I had enough wire to reach back there. And I've used that thing time after time after time. I carry a little small solder sucker that they sell over there. It's about an inch in diameter, 8 inches long. It's blue in color. Works really great. And a combination in your car, anytime that you have anything you need to solder, including your radios, like, bingo, you're there, 86 PL.
Very good tool to have, especially out in the mobile, wherever you're at. And that's a good point there. Just a little caution, of course, there's also butane-fired soldering irons, real small ones. Be careful with those if you are using those, because remember, it is a fire hazard if you're out there in the woods. Not recommended whatsoever. Yeah, no open flames, please. Anyway, good deal there. Anybody else out there with any comments?
YNW.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
This is in 2 meters. I was in one of the high peaks of San Gabriel, and a good friend of mine, WD6CHR, Silent Key now, was heading to his home in, was it Yucca Valley, somewhere in there, from El Monte. And I couldn't talk to him. I had a quarter wave on handy talkie. Couldn't talk to him. Finally could talk to him when I held it upside down with the antenna down. K6YNW.
Ah, the weird things that radio waves do, that's for sure. But anyway, it's all good. And sorry to hear you, Silent Key. Anybody else out there with any comments?
WA6MQF.
Ah, Bob, go ahead, and I have a vertical antenna question for you, totally off of the topic after we're done here, so don't go away. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, first of all, a low power comment. When I was going to school, one of my buddies decided to climb Mount Timpanogos. This is in near Provo, Utah. And he was up on the top there, somewhere 11,000 plus feet with a small HD. And I had my HD and was listening to him on 5.2. We talked a little over 100 miles with a couple of HTs and duckies on 2 meters, just because of line of sight. And then the other comment, one of the things I discovered was when I had 2 solar panels on the roof of my RV, and the solar panel that's about 4 feet tall and a foot and a half wide makes 4 amps of chargeable 12-volt power. And if you're going to go anywhere in your car, that's a great item to have, because you don't have to run your car to plug to charge a small power system. And I've kept those solar panels on whatever RVs I've had, and without having to run a generator, you can bring up your 12-volt batteries. WA6MQF.
Ah, very good, Bob, very good. Anybody else out there, any questions or comments, please come back. Yes, Cheryl, go ahead.
You have to look around to find who has it, but there's a company puts out a solar panel that rolls up and you put it in your pocket, and it's enough to charge the battery in an HT. The article I read, the guy was using it on river runs, and he was using his dual band handheld just communicating, and then he had it for emergencies if one occurred, but he said that little roll-up that fit in his pocket was plenty to recharge his battery on that, so you might check on that 86 bill.
Yeah, that's really fantastic. I know we've seen some basically small solar panels, but they're kind of solid. And something that rolls up is fantastic. That's great, especially if you're backpacking. You know, it just makes everything so much nicer. So, very cool. Anybody else have any comments or questions? All right, hearing none, a little sidestep here on our Tech Tuesday topic. Bob, W6MQF. Or to you, Mike, on a vertical antenna, such as, I think like that one you were tuning up at your house that one day with Bud. Now, is it mandatory, or does it work better if it's like ground-mounted with a bunch of radials off the ground? Or what would happen if you did not have all those radials, but you put that thing up on a tower? Bob, go ahead with that.
AF6QWA6MQF. My experience with that is I've always had at least one post driven into the ground for my ground side of the antenna. And as long as you've got a matcher, an antenna tuner or something, you'll be able to get the antenna to look like 50 ohms. As far as radiating, I think the better ground system you have, the lower your angle of radiation. Now, with those 2 or 3 sentences, Tom, that's about all I know from specific experience. I have that 14AV that tunes 40 through 10 meters bolted to my frame of my Airstream trailer, so I have the nice aluminum trailer as my counterpoise. Over.
Okay, Roger that. Well, when you do get back up here in the hill, I have a vertical that I've acquired, and I broke it in half, just to transport it in half. Each section is about 15, 18 feet apart, so putting it together, it's about 36 feet. And we got a couple of coils. I'm not even sure. There is no manufacturer's markings. It is in very good shape. And it was set up with ground radials and actually mounted about a foot or two off the ground. So I'm sure it worked fine where it was. But, you know, I had just a couple of questions, and maybe we can put it on your analyzer there, or your network analyzer, and see what it's tuned up for. Not sure, but a guess, I would say that it's probably good at 40 and probably even below with the coils and the caps that it has mounted on there. Pretty interesting. I haven't been able to look up anything and see what it is, so right now it's the mystery vertical. Back to you, Bob.
Right, well, if it's high gain, I've got the book and stuff on it, and we can put it on my fence there and dial the thing in and build it, you know, and mark the length of the bits of aluminum and get it workable for you. I'm off alternating about 1 week down, 1 week up, so when I get up again, I'll give you a call and we can get together, WA6MQF.
Okay, Bob. Yeah, I'm kind of also alternating up and back on the weeks. May not be up here next week, but we'll have to see. Monday's a holiday, and Tuesday, of course, is not, so we'll see. But I'll let you know anyway if I'm going to be off the hill. So, well, good deal. Anybody else out there, any good information on verticals other than very good to have counterpoise, ground radials, and a ground. That's about all I know, too. Mike, any input on there?
Real quick, what do you know what kind of an antenna it is? I mean, to manufacturer, name, anything?
No, I don't. But the guy had, everything he had was Mosley. So I guess the first step would try to look through that, but it doesn't mean it was. Because I think he had also had a Yagi, and I think it was from M squared. So I don't know.
Because I have an R7 that I've had since about 93, 94. It's a Cushcraft R7. And at one time I had that mounted to a stake in the ground, you know, right on the ground. And then I had it mounted up higher on a mast. But actually, I finally read the instructions. And it is meant to be mounted at 8 feet. I also put some radials. I used an edger and kind of dug little trenches in the backyard in the grass, and it happened to run across rolls and rolls and rolls of number 10 wire that I got for $5 a roll, which is a steal. So I made some radials and put it in, embedded it into the lawn, which has since grown over it. I don't even know they're there. And the antenna worked thousand times better after putting it at the proper mounting height and adding the radials. So you might see if you can figure out what it is and actually follow the instructions. When I did that, things worked a lot better. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, roger that. I know that you're on the early net once in a while, 39, 35. I think it was about 2 months, maybe 3 months ago, W6BBL, Bill put in helped with a group of us who were over there helping him put in, he had a new vertical, and pretty much, as I recall, it was not mounted more than about 6 feet up. Very nice antenna, and I'm assuming he's had good luck with it. I haven't talked to him, but yeah, it seemed pretty neat. And I don't think he had much more for radials other than I'm trying to think, maybe it was up on a little bit of a mast, come to think of it, so. He had some guy wires, I guess that would be access radio, so not sure how it was working for him, but seemed like it was pretty cool. Anyway, alright, well, good deal. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions or statements to make out here before we close Tech Tuesday, please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. cheat sheet here, which I cannot find, but that's okay. I don't need that. Arg, I know this by heart. Well, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6QNet Control, with a lot of help from my friends out there on Tech Tuesday. We'll be closing our net at 1900 hours, 45 minutes. I appreciate everybody for listening in this evening and joining with us. Always great. And we always try to pull out something new each week, something interesting and good out there. You know, a lot. There's how many topics are there in ham radio? 1 zillion. And that's a big number. All right. So please join us again next Tuesday, 1900 hours right here. If I am not here, Mike will take my place and doing an excellent job. He is. Hi, hi. He always does. Anyway, all take care out there. 73s. This is KF6Q returning the repeater. Back.